This is Confidence on the Go with your host, the pink-loving, unicorn-chasing, caffeine-fueled student of fitness and confidence, Trish Blackwell. This is a podcast community that celebrates life and pursues living a life worth telling a story about. You have uncommon potential within you, and you're in the right place to unleash it. Here's your host, Trish.
Yo, it is Trish Blackwell. I am super pumped to be with you today. It's a beautiful Tuesday. Today we're talking about how to hug happiness, but I gotta be honest with you. Let me tell you how I came to the subject. This was actually a topic intended for next week. However, next week we're gonna be doing what I was gonna do this week because my husband's not available and he is up for an interview. Now, you all have heard so much about Brandon. Look, I'm a regular wife. I want to brag about my husband, and I'm going to tell you right here today, I really think he's the smartest human being that exists. He inspires me in so many ways. He challenges me intellectually, emotionally, spiritually, I mean, physically, everything. And I'm just so pumped that he's agreed to be on the show again. He was on it, I want to say a year ago, and he goes, all right, if I do this, I want more structure, because last time I feel like I just babbled and he didn't like his answers and, you know, he's self-critical and anyways, ridiculous. So we thought we were going to have time to do an interview today and it turns out we didn't. So we are changing the topics and that's why. But let me tell you what you have to look forward to next week. Next week, we are going to be talking about how to stay motivated as a type B personality, because you see, I am a type A personality and my husband is so opposite me in almost every single way, which is why we work so well. And he's a type B, and I got a great, just probing letter from a fellow podcast listener, who is determined to be able to stick to her goals and follow through, but is struggling as a type B and looking at type A's and saying, well, how do you do it? Well, that's what we're going to talk about. But here's the thing. I want you to know that I'm going to follow it up with an episode the next week about all the benefits that type B's have that us type A's really need to learn how to implement into our lives. And you know, the biggest one, flexibility. So don't you think if you're listening going, well, wow, you're making it sound like type A's are the best. I'm not saying that at all. We actually all need one another and we can certainly learn from one another. So we're actually really excited to bring Brandon Sinan to the podcast show next week, because I know it's going to be great. But that being said, that is why we're talking about happiness today. And I wanted to rev you and prime you, pump you up for what is to come in the next couple of weeks. I've got some really great content and some concepts that we really haven't dug into. And to be honest with you, I'm actually happy that I have another week to prepare, because I'm doing a lot of research just to make sure I can master this subject and deliver you some really great strategy, whether you're a type A or if you consider yourself a type B, that I can give you tools and strategy that are implementable that you can do as soon as you hear the episode. And you know what, there's a lot of content out there and I'm really digging through and researching to provide the best for you. Cause my goal is, I know your time is valuable. And my goal with Confidence on the Go as a podcast community is that, you know, that you can come to this as a resource every day, or just every Tuesday, if you just catch up every week, to know that I'm going to value your time. I'm going to deliver content that matters and that can be applicable in your life right away. So that being said, wow, let's give a huge welcome to any first-time listeners. If you've stumbled on the show, I just want you to know that this is a community where everyone's accepted. You don't have to believe the same things that I do. I'm just here to, you know, to help motivate, inspire, and challenge you to think in different ways, but also challenge you to invest in yourself, in your mind, and in your movement, and in your meaning. And what I mean by that is mentally, physically, and spiritually. So, and that means a lot for different people. It means something different for everyone. And I'm just here to facilitate that kind of launch pad into each of those to become better and being more of who we are meant to be. So that being said, you need to know about this episode that what we're going to be talking about is what happiness really is. how to hug it. I wrote a blog post last week about hugging happiness, and we're going to talk about what does that mean? What am I talking about, hugging happiness? And then how to be happy, but also practical at the same time. Now, before we launch into all this great content, I do want to give my virtual high fives, my hugs, and a shout out to K. Caitlin and DKC Directs, who wrote reviews in iTunes for the show. You guys, this is how we grow our community. If you ever take anything from the show that's really beneficial for your life, and that you, if you ever wanted to just say thank you, the best way to thank me is to write a review in iTunes. In fact, I consider them little love letters. So here's what Caitlin said. Caitlin, she wrote, "I have been a member of the Be More community from the beginning. And girlfriend, thank you for being here from day one, and also for just being a member of the community, of being more of who you can be." And she said, "Last year I made the leap and did her 7-day detox. It was phenomenal. She helped me through a divorce and many hard times. Thank you for doing all that you do for us." And Caitlin, thank you for being positive through, sounds like what were really trying times in your life. And I'm so glad that I could be a facilitator of positivity in your life. And then DKC Directs wrote in iTunes, "I stumbled upon this podcast a few months ago when I was in a really negative headspace. A longtime sufferer of anxiety and depression, it was hard to not allow my negative thoughts control my everyday life. About 5 months ago, my anxiety led me to have the horrifying thought that I only had 6 months to live. Panic attacks were common and I felt hopeless, giving a lot of weight to this one thought despite being in decent health and spirits. Since I began listening to Trish, my mindset has significantly changed. I've been able to step back from my negative thoughts as they happen, and through medication and therapy, I'm much more mindful of what I pay attention to. Trish's podcast was the extra boost I needed to recognize anxiety that was preventing me from being the best version of myself, and I'm actively working towards that every day. Great podcast. I highly recommend it." And I'm going to honor you guys both as listeners of the episode. I always do it at the end, but today I'm doing it now. And Kay Caitlin, for triumphing through your divorce and your hard times and staying positive. But then also DKC Directs, for talking about anxiety and being open about it, because I think it's such an untapped subject in so many of our lives. We're often so ashamed of the anxiety that we feel that we shove it under the carpet more. We sweep it down. We feel isolated. We feel like we're the only ones that experience that. We feel even more vulnerable and damaged because of that, because we think we're the only ones. And the reality is that since we're talking about happiness today, anxiety is the opposite of this pendulum swing. And it's something that I myself experienced for so many years of my life. And I want someone to hear this very clearly today. And I think DKC Directs that you point towards this, that there's hope in your review that you left, because there is hope. You guys, as someone who struggled with an eating disorder for so many years, that essentially it's a eating disorder is a variant of an anxiety disorder. And anxiety is something to me that is actually very real in my life, even today. And so when I talk today about choosing happiness, we're choosing happiness because happiness is a choice. It's something that we can hug and hold on to. It's not something frou-frou. It's not this fleeting moment. It's not something that we pay for. It's not something that only a lucky few people could experience. But rather, I want to propose to you today that it's a state of your heart. It's a posture of your mind. It's your mindset towards the world. And it's something that even someone who has experienced great anxiety in their life, or maybe has the propensity to be anxious or negative first, that even someone in that situation has the hope of happiness and joy and abundant living that's available to them. Because I want you to know that when you hear me talking about happiness today, it's often really easy to be critical and say, "Well, yeah, Trish, that sounds great. Sounds like you have it all. Like your life is in order. You've got a husband who loves you. You've got a beautiful little baby. You've built your dream business. You're following your dream by writing your books." It's very easy to look at this from the outside and say, "Sure, must be nice." I need you to know my struggle. I need you to know that we can paint that picture, that frame, that Instagram worthy picture of anyone, and filter our filters and create this image that we put out to the public that everyone believes that it's all together. And the reality is, that's not what life looks like. So as I talk about happiness today and I tell you my stories and how I'm suggesting that we really hug happiness and hold on to it, I don't want you to think I'm coming from a Pollyanna state of mind. Now, I certainly am an optimist, and to be honest, I always have been, but I've been an optimist not by choice, but more out of necessity, because I want you to understand, for various reasons in my upbringing, I was raised with wonderful parents. They adore me and my brother and raised us with this just incredible amount of love and sacrifice. But they're very practical people, and optimism was not always natural to them. We struggled a lot as a family. We struggled relationally. We struggled financially. We struggled in so many different ways, and still do in many ways. But as a child, because I was surrounded by a lot of negativity that wasn't intentional, I really want to be really cautious as I speak about this, because I want to honor my parents with so much love and respect, because I adore them. But in many ways, there was a lot of financial fear, and there was a lot of just up and down in the family relationship. That as a result, as a child, I thought I could fix everything by being the silver lining, by always making sure I pointed out the upside of things, because we always talked about the downside. It was what was easier, because you know what? And this is such a common thing, unless you're very intentional about it, it's a heck of a lot easier to be critical than to be uplifting. It's a lot easier. Our minds are inclined to find the negative 100 times before we find the positive. Out of desperation as a child, I learned to become this optimist. Now, again, like I said, it's not a Pollyanna mindset. I really wanted to be a realist and an optimist at the same time. And I believe with certainty that we can balance those two. So even if you feel like you've been negative or possibly you're inclined towards pessimism, and you've been so for, I don't know, 30 or 40 years, it's not too late to know how to hug happiness. And it's not too late to say, I'm going to take some of this optimism and train my mind to see that, to see the good in the situation, to see the good, the outcome that can be something that's uplifting, rather than always focusing on the negative. And I talk about that in sense of our circumstantial evidence in our lives and our situational lives, but also when we're looking at ourselves, because as you know, this is a show about confidence, and to have the confidence to pursue your dreams, to have the confidence to live a life that's worth telling a story about, you have to first have the confidence in yourself that you are worthy, that you are beautiful, that you have something great to live, and a story that's worth telling the world. You have to have confidence in you in order to give you to the world. And so I want you to just be able to see yourself with optimism, to stop looking in the mirror and seeing your thighs or the extra centimeter skin on your, I don't know, on your sides that you call love handles, or that you're upset that you're not losing weight fast enough, or maybe you don't like your skin, you've got eczema, or maybe you've got adult acne. That, you know what, here's the thing, the bottom line, and I wish that we all talked about this more, is nobody cares. We are so wrapped up in ourselves that we get so worked up and so insecure over things that no one else sees, these external things that no one else is bothered by but other than us, because you know what? We see each other for our inner beauty. And I'm going off on a tangent there, but I want to get back to the subject of just for you to know that happiness is available. It's available to you today. And today, my goal in this podcast episode is to teach you how to hug happiness. Now, as you know, I mentioned there's a blog post that I posted last week called How to Hug Happiness. And you can check that blog post out at trishblackwell.com/happiness. But I want to walk you through the journey of how I got to this subject. So I just, as you heard from last week's episode, had an amazing family vacation with my husband's side of the family in Myrtle Beach. It was awesome. And you know what? The best part about it was sitting on the balcony with my little five-month-old baby in the mornings before everyone else got up. Because let's face it, she's a five-month-old baby and Mama Trish does not get all the sleep that she wants still. So you know what? We woke up with a sunrise and we got our I had my cup of coffee and I put Ellie on her little bouncer and we sat for an hour to an hour and a half every morning just soaking up the ocean breezes. It was absolutely wonderful. But what I thought about hugging happiness is that as in watching Ellie soak up the feeling, her first feeling of ocean breezes, of the wind, of this salty air on her skin, of the changing of the wind, of the sound of the ocean, in a little mind that probably can't process what it all means yet, but to know that it brought her joy. I mean, she bounced herself in this little tiny bouncer for an hour and a half without anything, no passy, no little, I don't know, she's got all these toys. I mean, Jelly the giraffe, I mean, there's a million of them that we travel with a zoo. Let me just tell you the amount of toys that I put in this little girl's car seat when we go anywhere. She likes to touch things because she's a baby. She didn't need anything. She just needed the wind. And she was content. And it was, I looked at her and watched her as I was reading my book and realized that that's the state of contentment that we're so desperately seeking. Happiness is not fleeting if we learn how to hold on to it. Now, holding on to happiness is like being Ellie in this bouncing seat, experiencing the ocean breeze for the first time and wanting to hug it. So it's this intangible thing that we want to embrace. And what I thought about and what I wanted to share with you and what I hope that I was able to convey in my blog post and now I'm hoping to convey to you in my podcast is that we actually can, even though we can't technically hug the air, we can't hug the ocean breeze, we can't hug happiness, we actually can. And watching this baby teach me this was just incredible. Now, it's really easy to say that happiness is awesome. It's totally available when you're on vacation. I mean, let's face it. But what I want to point out to you is that vacation is an opportunity, or weekends, or whatever's relaxing to you, is an opportunity to settle down and slow down. Most importantly, to slow down and realize what is happiness. Like I told you today, we're going to be talking about what is happiness? What is it itself? And it's the opportunity to slow down and see what is it that makes my soul smile? What is it that brings me great joy? Happiness isn't a number in your bank account. It's not the size of your house. It certainly isn't the number on your scale. It has nothing to do with the number on the tag of your clothes or how good your boyfriend or girlfriend looks or husband or wife. Or how well-behaved your children are. Happiness is a state of mind. It's a posture of your heart. Now, the problem, I think the reason that so many of us are feel so distant from happiness is because we live lives that are so busy and so complicated and so on the go that we don't even have time to slow down to figure out what it is that we like about life. What is it that actually makes us happy? I can't tell you the number of coaching clients I've worked with. I work with people in one-on-one capacity for confidence coaching, business coaching, and accountability coaching. And one of the questions I ask everyone is, what is it that makes you happy? What makes your soul sing? What is it that makes you, what can you do in life? What are the activities or the things about life that you could lose yourself in? That time could feels like it stands still and you feel transported back to being a child and just overwhelmed with joy and engagement and you feel fully alive. And I'll tell you what, 80% of people don't know the answer to the question. And it's not because they don't have an answer. So as you think about that for yourself, I want you to know it's not because you don't have an answer, but rather because you haven't slowed down to listen to yourself, to listen to your heart, to listen to the things around you, to really experience and touch and savor the intangibility of happiness. And so that's what's beautiful about a vacation, is that you slow down. You actually have time to think about the small things that bring you joy. And the spending quality time with family, reading a book, the ocean breeze, the toes, the feeling of sand on your toes. Maybe you're more of a mountain person, and it's the shade and the smells of the ferns. I don't know. But there's certain things, and I think there's so much value to slowing down, and to really experience happiness, we need to slow down. We need to minimize the extraneous noise and distraction that's around us and surrounding us and distracting us all the time, and really start listening to our heart. What are the things that make you feel alive? That's happiness. Those aren't things that will make you happy. Those things themselves represent happiness, and your ability to connect to those, and more than that, to actually appreciate and engage in those and savor them and relish and express gratitude for them. That, I think that is the full expression of happiness. So I am proposing to you today that happiness is a state of heart. And you guys, I actually I usually have outlines for my shows. I'm completely talking off the cuff here, because I think happiness can't be outlined. I don't think it can be written down. It's felt. It's expressed as we experience it. But the more in tune we are to ourselves and our emotions, the more in tune we will be to happiness, and then therefore the more available happiness will be to us. And I want to congratulate you for listening to a show like this. Because a show like this, this community like this, is a community where we are meant to engage ourselves. We are the mere fact that you're listening tells me that you're someone that's interested in becoming a better version of yourself. You're someone who says, I don't want to just go through the motions of Monday through Friday of climbing the corporate ladder, of achieving this or striving for that, or trying to be impressive so that maybe I can be happy. That you know that happiness is found by growth and internal development and personal development. And so the fact that you're listening to this tells me that you're that type of person, that you're introspective enough and reflective enough, that you are open to listening to your heart and starting to realize that you're actually probably surrounded by a hell of a lot more happiness than you realize that's available to you right now. So as I think about the people in my life whom I desperately want to be happy more than anyone else in the world, there's about a dozen people who I would lay down just everything in my life just to bring them joy. And when I see them ache, and when I see them hurt, and I see them struggle, and when I hear them say that happiness doesn't exist or that it's not real, I would do anything to share with them what's available, that this is actually available. It's just a shift in your mindset. It's a shift in your heart. It's a shift in your perspective. It has nothing to do with your circumstances. It has nothing to do with your finances. It has nothing to do with your looks. It has nothing to do with anything that we typically associate with happiness. It has everything to do with your heart and with the eyes with which you see the world. And so I want to encourage you today that I want your life to sparkle. If your life's not sparkling right now, if you think happiness is something reserved for the lucky few, I want to invite you into a new mindset that happiness can be yours today. That the more you get to experience happiness, the more you give it to others. We can't give out what we don't yet have. And so I've learned, and I've actually had with people whom I love dearly who don't believe that happiness is real, you know what? I'm living proof that it is. And it's the joy I experience by living with the mindset that I do. My prayer is that it overflows. Now, for me, coming from my faith perspective, my true source of happiness is my relationship with God, my relationship with Christ. And my prayer is that my joy that's grounded in that bubbles over and overflows so that people know that abundant life is available. Now, that is my personal walk. It doesn't doesn't have to be yours. It's just an example of a way to walk in happiness and joy. My point in sharing that with you is to tell you that happiness is contagious and joy is contagious. And if you have people in your life whom you love the way I love the people who I told you that are stuck in depression or stuck in negativity and, you know, woe is me and life is so hard and terrible. Now, a lot of those things are true. Life is tough in life, but it's like the people that refuse to see the silver lining, no matter what you try to tell them. If you really want to make a difference in their life, I just challenge you to rise up in your own happiness and let your happiness and joy in a non-annoying way, let's be realistic, just overflow and encourage them that, hey, despite her circumstances, she's choosing joy. Hey, if she finds happiness, then I guess maybe so can I. You have no idea who's watching you. So I want to encourage you to realize that you might be a leader. That as you consider hugging happiness today, you might be teaching others without knowing it how to do that very same thing and how to hold on to it. So let's do that. Let's talk about how to hold on to it. And this is a practical guide because I don't want to, you know, I told you earlier in the episode here that I'm an optimist. And I think it's pretty funny, actually. I told you my husband, Brandon, is quite the opposite of me. And let's just say, well, I'm an optimist. That means he's not naturally an optimist. In many ways, he's a realist. And, you know, we have a lot of discussions about how to balance those two things. And it's important to me that I deliver information and strategy that actually is applicable and not just a great idea. And that's, I'm hoping so. I want to talk to you today about how to hug happiness. And I have four steps for you to do that. And I want you to think about this before I go into the four steps. I want you to think about holding on to happiness and this concept of a happiness hug as a type of mental fitness. Now, you know that I'm a personal trainer, so I'm a huge fan of fitness. Like, saying I'm a fan of fitness is an understatement. I love fitness. I love it. I mean, my day revolves around my workout. I just love it so much. It makes me feel so alive. I love the challenge. I love everything about it. Doesn't mean that you have to, but what it does mean is that I like to think about things in terms of fitness. And I've never actually before this past week, as I started thinking about the happiness hug, I never really thought about hugging happiness and holding on to happiness and choosing happiness and choosing to be content rather than compare yourself or be critical of yourself, that all those things that go with unhappiness and discontent and feeling unsettled and anxiety, that's actually a type of mental fitness. Because I thought up to myself and I wanted to understand how my journey is taking me here and how have I grown and how have I been able to overcome some of the anxiety that really plagued me. Like I told you before, it's still present, but I can choose the happiness versus the anxiety. If I'm standing at a crossroads and I have happiness and anxiety on one side versus the other, contentment and anxiety, I now know how to almost like when I put Ellie on the side of the pool, she's wobbly. She can't stand. She's 4.5 months, but she can stand up on her legs with me holding her little hands and she kind of wobbles. She's, you know, so excited. She loves the water. So excited to go in the water. She sort of just falls right in. So I think about myself at a crossroads and I'm wobbly. I can't go back. I'm going back and forth between happiness and anxiety or being, you know, content versus feeling insignificant or unqualified or not worthy enough or just the not enough versus saying I am all I need to be. And I've sort of in trying to envision myself like little baby Ellie on the edge of the pool, and I accept that I have control over which direction I'm falling. That part of hugging happiness doesn't mean that you have to actively know how to choose it. It just means that you need to fall towards it. That you're saying, I have a fork in the road and I'm leaning one way versus the other. And I'm going to choose to throw myself. I'm committing one way or the other. I'm just going to follow into it and flow with it and find out where it takes me. So as you think about happiness, as you think about the sparkle of your heart. Like happiness is, like I said, it's not tangible, but I think for me, as I thought about the definition of it, the best way to describe it is a heart that's alive. Or the feeling and experience of your heart being fully alive. Now, if we talk about that, like, you know, we're talking about the Be More community, this whole podcast community, the whole concept of being confident is all in pursuit of being more of who we are, of being the best version of ourselves possible. And if you think about that, that is a heart that is fully alive. So if we really break it down, happiness is a heart that sparkles. So how can you get that your heart to sparkle more? And I want you to think about your heart sparkling and that being happiness. Whatever it is, those moments that you feel your heart sparkle, you're happy. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge it. Celebrate it. Hug it. Hold on to it. It's a mental fitness, so that's where the fitness element comes on. It's being aware. I think so many times in our lives, in our daily lives, those small things about life that make your heart sparkle, that make you smile on the inside, those are worthy of recognition. We have to recognize and celebrate, gosh, this is making me really happy, even if they seem like small things. So my four steps to really, that I hope are very practical for you. I hope you walk away from today's episode saying, yes, these are practical things I can do right away. My four steps are, number one, find at least five things to be grateful for every morning. Because gratitude isn't about, establishing thankfulness. Like, it is thankfulness. I don't know how to phrase this. But gratitude, having a heart of gratitude and doing a gratitude journal every morning and saying, you know what, I'm grateful for these things, is actually training your heart to look for more things to be grateful for. So it's that whole scenario. So I'm sure you've read articles on this before, but there's this psychological theory that's manifested when we're studying or researching a thing, we then notice more of that thing. So when my husband and I bought our Jeep a couple of years ago, I went from one day never seeing Jeeps on the road, ever, like maybe one every couple of days, there's a Jeep. So then all of a sudden, everywhere you drive, you're surrounded by Jeeps. Everything you see is a Jeep, because what we dwell on, what we focus on, we then notice and see. So it's the same thing of what you are grateful for. If you're focused on gratitude and you're focused on intentionally finding and pinpointing five things each day at the start of the day that you want to celebrate, that you're grateful for. And another word for being grateful is, hey, these things I really appreciate. I have gratitude for them. Gosh, these things make my heart sparkle. It's essentially saying, these things make my heart happy. These things are happiness. And by writing them down, just, I don't even care if you don't keep an actual journal. Maybe you type them in your phone, or maybe you write them on a scrap piece of paper. But by writing them down, you're doing something tangible to an intangible thing. You are then, therefore, able to hug happiness. I really believe a gratitude journal is hugging happiness, but then it also increases your happiness because you're training your mind to be able to hug happiness in other ways throughout the day, because you're increasing your amount of gratitude in the way with which you see the world. Second step that I really think we can hug happiness and be optimistic in a practical and pragmatic and realistic way is to be intentionally generous with our emotions. And I'm a big numbers girl. I want to give this, like I said, a practical way. And I want you to be generous with your emotions with at least three people throughout the day. Now, that might mean that you're being more patient with somebody. Maybe it means you're just honoring and serving someone. It might be that you're a mentor and you're encouraging someone. But I know if we are honest with ourselves, there are opportunities every single day that we are presented to be really great human beings. And I want to be honest here, is I don't always take those opportunities. I would love to say that I take them 85 to 90% of the time. Maybe I take them 100% of the time, but I don't think that I do. Maybe I only take them 20% of the time. But if we strive to say, how can I watch for these opportunities to be generous with my emotions towards others, so that my sole goal with each day is to be, one, the best version of myself, but also, two, to encourage, love, and build others up. I think by doing that, by giving others love and generosity with your emotions and your patience and your spirit and your words of affirmation and whatever it might be, and your time, that that is going to multiply your happiness. And by it's a way to almost pass the baton of happiness. And by investing in others, your heart will sparkle. But your heart, it's like this flame that you get to then pass on to somebody else whose heart then sparkles. So you're literally hugging happiness and then sharing it with somebody else and teaching them how to do that as well. The third way is to look for beauty in every situation by slowing down and savoring the little things about life that sparkle. Now I feel like I already went into this pretty well before, is asking yourself that question. What is it that makes your heart sing? What are the things that you could just watch for hours? Maybe it's watching a sunset. It might be having your toes in the sand. It might be the mountain breezes on top of a mountain after a hike. It might just be holding hands with your significant other and walking. It could be scrapbooking. For me, in many ways, it's writing, it's linguistics, it's perusing a dictionary. It might just be quality time with people and playing with kids. But there are so many small details of life. Maybe it's the smell of coffee. Oh my gosh, that's one of mine. Oh, the smell of coffee and the first bite of chocolate. What are the things that just the, and as we would say in French, les petits plaisirs, that just overwhelm your heart with joy if you were to slow down enough to appreciate them? And that is how to hold on to happiness, by being more attentive and introspective to those things that really make life sparkle. And the fourth way is that I want you to really hug and hold on to happiness, is I want you to lean into every day with anticipation and confidence that it's going to be a great day, and that every day, no matter how it goes, is the opportunity to grow, gives you an opportunity to grow and learn in some way. And if you grow and learn in some way, that in and of itself is something to be happy about. So in review, here's how I really think you can practically hug happiness. Number one, find at least 5 things to be grateful for each morning and do a gratitude journal. Number 2, be intentionally generous with your emotions and share happiness by others by investing in them. Know that we all just desperately want to be loved. We all want to know we're special. And you can give someone else happiness with your time, with your compliments, with your affirmations, with your mentorship, with your building up, or just with being a good neighbor. Number 3, we can hug happiness by looking for beauty in every single situation. And we do that by slowing down and watching the things in life that make life really sparkle in our hearts. And then finally, number 4 is that we have the opportunity to lean into each day with anticipation that we will learn and become a better version of ourselves. And that in and of itself is something to be happy about, that we are beings in transformation. And that's worthy of celebration. That's awesome. That we're not stuck in our past, but that the future, the present is wonderful, and that the future holds only better. That we can aspire and confidently live with the idea that every day of our life is going to be better and better if we choose to think about it in that way. If we choose to say, no matter what comes our way, it's an opportunity to grow. And you know, that freaking excites me. I'm excited that right now I'm 32 years old, but when I'm 43 years old, and when I'm 54 years old, when I'm 65 years old, and when I'm 76 years old, and when I'm 87 years old, that my life is going to be getting better and better and better and better. And I don't mean circumstantially, but I mean in the maturity of my heart and my appreciation for the joy and in the way in which my heart sparkles and the ability that I have to hold on to happiness is going to just get better every single day because I've decided that it will. And I'm going to have that intention to do that. And I'm going to see life for that silver lining because it is there. It is out there and it's available to us if we choose to see it that way. And you guys, that's it for today's show. I really hope that you're inspired to hug happiness, that you realize it is available for you to hug. And that, if you really want to go kind of read back through these concepts, go check out my blog post. It's trishblackwell.com/happiness. I did post some pretty cute pictures of baby Ellie on there. You know what? It's worth checking out. It's worth checking out. trishblackwell.com/happiness. And if you are not yet on my mailing list and you're looking for more happiness and you want some weekly motivation to your inbox, and if you don't yet have your roadmap to confidence, it's a weekly tool that I use and I have my clients use to accelerate and your confidence and triple your confidence and your happiness with just one reflection tool, make sure you get that. It's totally free. You can get that at trishblackwell.com/roadmap. So again, that's trishblackwell.com/roadmap. You guys, I love you so much. I'm so honored to be hugging happiness with you. Thank you for letting me talk off the cuff about what makes my heart sparkle. And I hope that you've kind of got your mind running a million miles a minute right now, thinking about what is it about life that makes your heart sparkle, and that, you know what? What are you going to do to make sure that you live a life that sparkles? Because that's what we are doing by being more of who we are each and every day. So go out there, be more of who you are, be you, be free, and go sparkle.
Thanks for listening. You can get more resources and coaching from Trish at www.trishblackwell.com. And if you love the show, please post a review in iTunes so that more people can join in on this community of confidence. Now, go conquer your day with confidence.